Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of All Things Working Together for Good. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So this 28th verse of Romans chapter 8 is one of the most encouraging statements in the Bible. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. It's not true for everyone. It is a promise specifically for those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, this is a promise to the child of God. Now, notice Paul is assuming that his readers know this. This is something that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, this is something that we need to know. We need to know that all things are working together for good to those who love God. Why? Because there will be things in life that seem to contradict this truth. And let's be honest, if you've been around for a while, if you've lived life, if you've walked with the Lord, you know by experience that there are times when things are so perplexing. And you look at this verse and you're just thinking, Lord, wait, how is that true in light of what I'm going through? And there are times we can understand that some things work together for good. We might even be willing to agree that most things work together for good. But at times we can be really tested as to whether all things work together for good. So again, how do we know that all things work together for good? How can we know this? And the answer is, we know it primarily by faith. We know it by faith. Because a lot of times, we're not going to see it for a while. In some cases, we're not going to see it in this lifetime. So how do we know it's true? This is where faith comes in. By faith, I have to lay hold of this as true, even though nothing I see supports what I believe. I can't see any change in the circumstances. I can't even imagine in any way how this thing, this tragedy, this crisis, whatever it might be, this form of suffering, I just can't see for the life of me. And you see, there are those times and those situations where we look at it and we just say, you know, Lord, I can't see it. I don't get it. I've had times like that in my life, where I have just said to the Lord, you know, I just can't see how this could work together for good. The only way that we can lay hold of this and embrace it and be strengthened and comforted through it is if we're going to take hold of it by faith. In other words, we have to just simply believe that it's true because God said it's true. But Let's think about the God who said it's true. And that helps. If we know God, if we know who He is, if we know what He's done, if we know His character, if we know His heart, then putting faith in this word is going to be a lot easier than if we don't. You see, if I know that somebody is faithful, if I know somebody is true, if I know somebody has the ability, I know ultimately they're going to come through, and they come along and say, hey, don't worry about that situation. It's going to be taken care of. I can rest. I can say, okay, because I know that person. I have confidence in them. But if I'm in the midst of some crisis or some tragedy and some stranger walks by and says, hey, man, don't worry about it. It's all going to work out. You know, who are you? Why should I believe you? How do you know? Or why should I trust that you know? So you see, this is really the issue. We have got to know our God. We've got to have faith in the Word of God, but we've got to have faith in the God who spoke the Word. So who is this God? Well, remember, first of all, He is the God who created the universe. So we are called to put our faith in God's Word. He is the God who loves us and demonstrated. He's also the God who has shown His faithfulness throughout history. Probably one of the greatest illustrations of this is Joseph. There in the latter portion of Genesis. Here's this young man. He's the apple of his father's eye. He's envied by his brothers. And because they envy him, they determine to harm him in some way. And so they take him and they cast him into a pit. And they want to kill him, but instead of killing him, they decide, no, we'll just sell him. So they sell him to the Ishmaelites that are passing by. And here he is at 17 years old. He's basically sold by his own brothers. He's betrayed. He's sold as a slave. And the Ishmaelites, they take him to Egypt, and they sell him to a man named Potiphar. And so he ends up in the house of this man, Potiphar. He's there for a season. We don't know how long. Things go wrong there, although he's blessed, and Potiphar has entrusted everything to him. You remember in the story, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and this all results in Joseph being cast into prison. And there he is in prison. And the whole ordeal lasts for 13 years. 13 years. Think back in your mind right now. Try to think back 13 years ago. Could you imagine the past 13 years being in slavery? Well, that's where Joseph was. He was a believer in God. He was somebody who trusted God. But this is where he was for 13 years. And Joseph did not have Romans 8:28. He didn't have that assurance that all things are working together for good to those who love God. But he was trusting the Lord. Now, I'm absolutely certain, because Joseph was thoroughly human, there were times when he was just saying, okay, God, I do not get this. I cannot figure this out. Lord, I can't see any way that this is helpful, that this is beneficial for me, for anybody else involved. I can't see how this is furthering your plan, your purpose. You can be sure that there were times of deep, deep darkness and depression for Joseph. With Joseph, the thing is, of course, Joseph was able to see in his own lifetime, in his own experience, how these things actually turned out for the good. And there will be many times that that's the case with us as well. But as I said earlier, there might be a few things that we will never really figure out. And those are the things that we have to just simply put back in the Lord's hands. We have to just simply say, well, you know, that's one that'll just have to wait. I think that's especially true when you lose a loved one. That's just the reality of it. But there are things that we do get to see this side of heaven. We do get to see God work things out. And again, history shows us that in the lives of God's people. Joseph just being one example. We could look to others. We could talk about David. We could talk about Daniel. We could talk about various people in the scripture where those kinds of things, you know, seemingly wrong things for God's people. Wait a second. How could this happen to one of God's people? But yet, those things were allowed. But we see through the stories how God works them out. Moses is another, of course, a great example. But you know, I was thinking about some current illustrations. And there were a couple that came to mind. A few weeks ago, I had to go to the Brazilian consulate in Los Angeles. And as I'm standing there, this guy comes through the door. And he's in this contraption. And I look at him and I think, wow, that is Nick Wojcik. Now, Nick Wojcik, if you don't know who he is, he's a guy who has no arms or legs. He's a Christian. He's a great evangelist. He's amazing. But he's lived his entire life without arms and legs. He wrote a book called Life Without Limbs. The place is crowded, and of course, somebody comes in with no arms and legs, and everybody's looking but trying to pretend like they're not looking at him. And one man is just like, could I take a picture with you? You know? And I couldn't believe how gracious Nick was. He goes, can I take a picture with you after you're done? He goes, let's do it right now. I go, man, that is amazingly gracious. So anyway, I'm standing there, and finally I just go, okay, I gotta go over and say hi to him. So I went up and I said, hey, I we have a few mutual friends, and I just, you know, want to introduce myself to you. And I told him, you know, who our mutual friends were, and oh yeah, that's great, you know. So, you know, he goes, give me a hug. You know, doesn't have any arms, so it's like, okay, I'll do the hugging, you know. But you know, he leans his head on my shoulder and stuff. But you know, it's just amazing. And he told me, he goes, yeah, I'm going to Brazil because I've been asked to go down and speak to some company down there with thousands of employees. They've asked me to come down, and they just want me to share my story. And he said, and you know, I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things in churches, and I share the gospel, he said, but I do a lot of things for other, you know, corporations and things where I don't come in as a Christian speaker, but of course I am a Christian. So he says, all the way through, I tell him about this book and my friend. And then at the end, I tell him the book is the Bible and my friend is Jesus. And then he gets to minister to him. So, but anyway, and he's probably, you know, late 20s, maybe early 30s right now. But, you know, after meeting him, I wanted to kind of get a little bit more familiar with his life. So I've been watching, there's some stuff on YouTube and all of that. He's Australian. And of course, being without any arms and legs, he got the attention of the media. And there's a little documentary on him when he was a little boy. And it's just so astounding. This guy, this kid. But anyway, so I'm looking at this, and you know, I mean, let's face it. And they're interviewing his mother in this thing, and it's like, you know, she said, when we were told that our baby had no arms and legs, she said, I just thought it was a dream that I was going to wake up out of. You can't have a baby without arms and legs. That just can't happen. But there he was. You know, for the next several years, it was just every day trying to figure out, how do we navigate this? How do we work with this child? But this has been the very thing that has opened the door for this guy to go around the world and share the love of Jesus. It's amazing. I'll tell you, man, God is using this guy powerfully. And I can pretty much guarantee that he wouldn't be being used to this extent if he wasn't in the state that he's in. It's this very condition that God is using. All things working together for good. But as I'm watching this, and actually Kathy sent me this link the other day, there's another video with him surfing with Bethany Hamilton. Okay, you know who Bethany Hamilton is, right? She's the young pro surfer girl whose arm was ripped off by a tiger shark. And again, another illustration of a situation, a person I mean, your arm gets bitten off by a shark and you're a pro surfer. This is a problem. This is not a good thing. And here you are as a young Christian and you're looking at Romans 8, 28 and you're saying, what? All things work together for good? You mean the fact that I only have one arm now, that's a good thing? But you know, you talk to Bethany today and she'll tell you how good God is. And she'll tell you the amazing things that God is doing in her life and what he's done since this situation occurred. And we know how God is using her life. She made a movie. Hollywood couldn't resist it. They made it. And they promoted it. And millions of people have seen it. And she's still pro surfing. Amazingly. But you see, this is the kind of stuff that you look at, and this is the stuff that you would be tempted to say, well, look, no, I can buy, you know, some things, I can buy most things, but, you know, don't tell me all things work together for good. I had a baby that was born with no arms or legs. You don't tell me that that's working together for good. Talk to Nick Vujicic. He'll tell you something different. Oh, well, don't tell me that, you know, all things work together for good. I only have one arm now because of a shark attack. No, talk to Bethany. She'll tell you, all things work together for good. And there are multitudes of other people that will tell you the same thing. So you see, we've got the fact that God is the creator. He's all powerful. We've got the fact that God really does love us, not just theoretically, but he loves us. He proved it. He came and he made the ultimate sacrifice of putting himself in the place of us to die so we wouldn't have to. And then we've got history where we see this truth illustrated over and over again in the lives of God's people in the past, in the lives of God's people in the scriptures, and we could just spend an endless amount of time telling the stories of God's people who have proven this to be the truth over the years. Now, let me say this. It's important that we understand ultimately what the good is here. All things work together for the good to those who love God. This is not a good just in a general sense. And quite honestly, it's not even good in the sense that we might think, well, I think that would be good. Lord, that would be a good outcome. I'd be happy with that. No, the good here is something beyond that. This is the ultimate good. This is the eternal good. You see, again, with this, like we've talked about before, we have to go back and get an eternal perspective, which is something that we often fail to do. We so often think of things in relation to time. We think of it in the here and now. We're not thinking eternally. So we're looking at everything like, well, how's this affecting me now? How's this going to affect me 5 years from now? What is this going to be like 20 years from now? We've got to get out of time and we've got to realize, wait a second, there's another thing that's operating here. It's called eternity. And what God is doing in your life, although it certainly has bearing on the here and now, it has its primary bearing on eternity because that's where we're going to be. The here and now is brief. The investment, the work, all that God's doing in you isn't just for the next 10 or 30 or 50 or 70 years. Although it certainly has relation to that, it's for forever. It's for eternity. And the good is specifically being conformed to the image of his son, which he tells us in the next verse. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the ultimate good. That is the thing that God is moving us toward. And all of these things in life that we experience, good or bad, they're all working together for that one glorious purpose, to make me and to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. That is what's happening. Now, how does God cause all things to work together for good? How does he do this? God only knows. This is one of those things. His ways are unsearchable. Now, some people would say, well, God causes everything to work together for good because he pre-planned everything out and everything's just going according to his plan. I don't think so. Of course, God planned everything. And everything is going according to his plan, but not because it was predetermined to go in that direction. God allowed for freedom for people to mess up the plan. But God is so great that even allowing men freedom and the ability to mess up the plan, he's able to still keep the plan on course. That's the amazing thing. That's how great our God is. I mean, you know, just think of a tornado ripping through a city and just destroying everything. And as quick as it's destroyed, it's replenished and restored. Well, that's what's happened. Sin is like a tornado that's just been ripping through the world for all of these centuries. And it looks like, from a certain point of view, the whole plan is just being destroyed. And who could ever pick up the pieces? Who could ever make this right? God can, and he is. And all of those things, those evil things that Joseph's brothers did to him, God used all of that. And he turned it around and he used it for his glorious purpose. And that's what happens. Evil things happen to us. Evil people plot against us. But nothing they can do can ever thwart the plan of God, because God's in control, because God is sovereign. And even though he allows men freedom to mess it up, he's not going to let them mess it up. In the end, he's going to use all of those things to benefit and to bless his people. And only God can do that because he is omniscient and he's omnipotent. He knows everything and he has all power. That's why God can do it. And that's why we can't even fathom doing it, because his ways are unsearchable. We don't even know what that would be like. Think what it would be like to know everything simultaneously. Everything. You know it all immediately. You know everything that there is to know presently. All at the same time, you know it all. You ever think about how God, how he listens to you pray, but then he's listening to the person next to you pray? And he's listening to people around the world pray. And it's not like this jumbled thing in his head, like, wow, what are they saying down there? Man, it's so confusing. Can you guys pray one at a time? You know, I'm losing something here. No, it's like you're the only one praying. God is focused in right on you immediately, knows everything that you're saying, but he knows everything that everybody else is saying too, perfectly. That's why he's God. That's who God is. And he knows everything, and he possesses all power. He can do anything. See, this stuff is unsearchable. This is unfathomable. But it's because of who he is that we know that all things work together for good. It's because of who he is, because he is the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. We can take Romans 8:28 and say, it's true. And I don't have to have it proven to me. It's true because of who God is. And therefore, since it's true, I'm going to trust in it. I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to wait. And if God allows me to see the manifestation of its truth in this life, I'm going to rejoice. But even if he saves it for the other side, I'm not going to worry about it, because he knows what he's doing. And that's where we come to that place of just peace. We come to that place of just like, you know what? It's okay. The Lord is in control. So remember that. We know all things work together for good to those who love God. We know they do. We don't think they might, merely. We don't just, well, I hope it's the case. But as God's people, we know all things work together for good. I might not understand how right now, but I can have confidence that they do.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of God's Good Work. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled All Things Working Together for Good. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0143. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.